Hello and welcome back to In and Out Kabaddi. It's great to have you along listening to our podcast. The aim is always, of course, to give you all the insights about the Pro Kabaddi League in India. And the aim is always to keep it under 10 minutes. We don't always manage it. Sahel, how are you this week? How's everything going out in Mumbai?
Yeah, I'm good to go, Dan. It's been great fun, really, just to get back home for a couple of days in between being in Panchkula as well. We've got a day off today on a Tuesday, so that's always nice to just get back into your own bed. But Panchkula has been really phenomenal in terms of the viewership. The love for Kabaddi in Haryana is unbelievable. And the knowledge for Kabaddi in certain parts of India, like Panchkula, like Haryana, which produces perhaps the most Kabaddi players in the league, is really unparalleled. So, no, it's been a phenomenal week.
And, of course, Panchkula, not one of the more sort of famous, not one of the more known places in India. The Tau Devalal Sports Complex is where they're playing. Just give us a bit more of an insight of what Panchkula is like, because we know it's in Haryana. We know Haryana qualified this league this week. We'll talk about that later. What's the local area like that they're playing in?
Well, to be honest, it's just filled with sports and love for sport. The entire state at the moment is buzzing for sport, because even when you look at the number of Olympians that India produces, a massive, massive chunk of them come from Haryana. When you look at the wrestlers, the strong sort of boxers that come through the ranks as well, most of them come from this belt of Haryana. You'll see a lot of high-performance sports centres. The Haryana Steelers have one here. So it's a great part of the country if you love your sport. It's a hard language to communicate with if you can't speak it. It's been great fun. The food's fantastic. The people are great to have as well.
Now, three teams have qualified for the playoffs now. Delhi and Bengal, Haryana qualified. They were made to wait for their qualification, though, because the first match in Haryana, they lost to UP 37-30. Now, Sahil, were you stood on one leg for the whole match? And can you work out why I'm asking you that?
I was not stood on one leg the entire match.
Why? Cricket reference. It was match 1-1-1. Lord Nelson.
Oh, was it match 1-1?
Yeah.
Ah,
Lord Nelson.
Love it.
Yeah, anyway,
I should have known that one. I was trying to think of where it was. Was it a 2-2-2? Was it a 3-3-3? Was it a 1-1-1 somewhere? That's why I figured out match number. You got me on that.
Match
one,
111.
I did that to you.
Match 111. Shrekanth Yadav starred 11 points for UP, and they got past the home team. It won't have gone down well, but what will have gone down well is the next game up. Haryana sneak past Gujarat 38-37. They won't care how they got past, and they did. And they get their place in the playoffs. Haryana Steelers, there must be a big sigh of relief for the local fans, because essentially now, to a degree, they can enjoy their home leg with a little bit less pressure on them.
Yeah, do you know, Srikant Yadav scored that 11 point with one leg.
Did he? Good lad.
Because it was the 11 point in the 111th game.
He knew, clearly a cricket fan.
He did, clearly one up on me there, Dan. But yeah, I mean, yeah, look, the Haryana Steelers, I think, would have liked to have sealed it right there with UP Yodha. But UP Yodha are on a terrific run at the moment. I mean, they are unbelievable to watch. And they're doing it without actually the help of Monu Goyat. They're doing it with Surinder Gill and Srikant Yadav in their young defence. So they've been outstanding. But at the same time, Haryana, as I said, they'll just be relieved that they got through with that Q to their name. I don't think it's going to be possible to catch Bengal Warriors or Dabang Delhi at the top two. So now it doesn't really make a massive difference where they finish at the moment, because you don't know where the other teams are going to finish. 3, 4, 5, 6 go through anyway. And just to have, as you said, that Q next to their name to be able to enjoy the home leg thereafter is perhaps a bit more important for the Haryana Steelers.
Yeah, the only way they can catch the Warriors is the Warriors lose both their matches and Haryana win all three of theirs, because, of course, that would get them 15 points, put them on 80, and potentially they could sneak past the Warriors, of course, assuming the Warriors didn't pick up losing bonus points. That loss for Gujarat against Haryana, though, of course, killed off any hopes they had of the playoffs as well. A huge disappointment from them, but never really got going for Gujarat at all this season.
No, it didn't. It really, really didn't. I think it's been a really disappointing campaign. I think the coaching as well from Manpreet hasn't been very proactive. So I don't think they've got too many people to blame apart from their own personnel. I think Sunil Kumar and Parvesh Benswal haven't quite combined the way they did in seasons 5 and 6. I know he likes to keep the consistency of that team, but there was just no use of the resources on the bench when your team on court weren't doing a great job. That's when you've got to use the resources on the bench. The likes of Vinod Kumar should have played a lot more. The corner, Rutraj Gaurve, has been pretty woeful for most part, but there was no change to that corner. Few things that I think that could have been tinkered with. And you see a very defensive Manpreet Singh as a coach, even in front of the media. And that tells you there's a bit of insecurity about it. You know, he very, very aggressive coming back with answers as to why they're doing badly, rather than actually give you reasons why. And that tells you that there isn't really an understanding of what's gone wrong. I think it's just they expected more from the playing group that they picked. Sachin Tawar and his rating has been a bit well below par, so they didn't have a lead rater. Rohit Gulia, for me, has been the best player in that entire team. But they just didn't squeeze the most out of their resources on bench. And they had a young Sonu Jaglan, who's not really featured in the team starting seven until they were out of that race for the playoffs. So it's an odd campaign. And I don't think you can blame too many people apart from the coach and the players themselves this time around. And I think the coach does hold a lot of those cards.
Now, with Bengal and Delhi playing this week, that was a potential warm-up for the final. That could very easily be the final. Bengal Warriors closing the gap to 4 points on Dabang Delhi. 9-point win. The very interesting, very significant thing about this match, though, was, of course, Maninder Singh top-scored 13 raid points, but picked up an injury which kept him out of most of the second half of the match. Now, what's the update on Maninder? But surely for Delhi, they will have, you know, taken a bit of a psychological beating with the fact they couldn't even beat Bengal when Maninder wasn't there either.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting result because I think for Dabang Delhi, in one way, it's maybe a good thing because otherwise they would have coasted into the playoffs, top of the table, and then had this happen perhaps in the semi-final. And that's the last thing you want. Maybe it's the wake-up call coming at the right time for a team that's been so slick so far. I mean, they had more than 20 unsuccessful tackles. Maninder was outstanding. And just on his injury, we're hearing it's a dislocation. It could be quite bad. But they're hoping that it popped back into place straight away. And they're hoping it's not more serious. I know he was taken away for scans straight away. I haven't heard much back yet in terms of whether there's a hairline fracture at all. I mean, he is a tough unit, Maninder. But they'll be doing everything they can to get him ready for the potential semi-final that lies ahead for the Bengal Warriors straight from here, because without Maninder in that team, it's a far less threatening raiding unit.
And then, of course, they're left with Prapanjan and Sugish Hegde. How do those guys, how do you think they could shape up in a semi-final under pressure and thrown in at the deep end?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be tough because also they lose their leader in Maninder. So they lose their leader, they lose their top raider, and then suddenly the second string has to become the lead. And you've got Nabi Baksh Prapanjan and Sukesh Hegde, who are all good raiders, mind you. I mean, no disrespect to them. But they're not the quality of Maninder to just keep picking up points, keep racking up the big points. So they will definitely miss a leader like Maninder. He's been special in terms of the way he's used those raiders as well. So hopefully he'll be back soon.
Now, it's been probably a difficult week for you with the realisation that your home team, the Talivas, bottom, must be absolutely heart-wrenching.
It's not been difficult, Dan. It's not been difficult.
This was
a long time coming.
But heart-wrenching, heart-wrenching for the locals. There was so much put upon this season. I know the players that they bought in were of the older generation. But these are stars of the game. These are not average Joes. Perhaps they are now as age is catching up with them. But for Chennai fans, I mean, they must just be gutted by how the season's gone.
Yeah, I think I'm more gutted for them as well. I think, there was a realisation very early. I told you, I wrote a column about the Tamil Talivas at the start of the season, just after the auction, just saying that, look, while they're a great side on paper, there's always going to be large personalities who are towards the twilight of their career coming together. And so when you've got two or three losses come together, that's when the wheels will just stop going through in the same direction, because there's a lot of egos in that team. They're very hard to manage personalities as well. So it was always going to be the case if they ever stopped winning. And that was always going to be the case in a 22-game long season. I'm not surprised that the wheels have come off. I'm just surprised at how badly and how horrendously the shape is just unraveled, because it is embarrassing at the moment. I think it really is poor to watch them just not put in a fight, just completely look out of sorts and have no real respect for the game in many ways, the way they're going about it as well. I mean, they put in a spirited performance versus Umumba, and they only lost by four. It was 32-36. But I think that was also more down to Umumba's defense being absolutely torrid and just being a bit complacent versus the Tamil Thalaivas. So, you know, I think you expect a bit more. Rahul Chaudhary had, I think, 1 point in 16 raids or something versus Umumba on that night. So, I really question the methods in which they're going about it, because any other team, if one raider had 1 point over 10 or 12 raids and was being hammered time and time again, they would have substituted the man and gone with someone younger, tried someone like Victor Obiero or someone on the bench. But it goes to show you that it's still a team that's based on reputation rather than form. And the team management really needs to take some hard calls in the off-season and make some changes, because it's one of the hubs of Kabaddi. It's one of the oldest playing parts of Kabaddi in India. And they need and deserve a whole lot more from their team.
They could still, though, have a say on the top six. They could still have a say on the top six if somehow JPP can claw themselves up to within striking distance. They'd have to beat the Bengaluru Bulls. It's absolutely vital that that happens. Of course, JPP could finish off with a match against the Thalaivas. JPP, do you feel they rather ruined their leg with that 51-31 loss to Telugu? It's looking so unlikely that they'll make the top six now, but there is still a chance. There is still a chance. I mean, Umumba, if they beat Patna, they've pretty much edged over the line, and they heap the pressure on the likes of Bengaluru. Do you think, well, first of all, did JPP ruin their leg? But also, sort of, why lose so heavily to Telugu?
Yeah, I think Jaipur, with that loss, close to being out. I wouldn't rule them out completely, because if a couple of other results go their way, it could work. Like you said, Umumba, if they beat the Patna Pirates, and that is a possibility if they just target Pardeep Barwal, then Umumba sail through. But the team that's actually got a tough run is the Bengaluru Bulls. They play the Haryana Steelers, then they play JPP, which the winner of that, I think, will go through, essentially. And then it's also Bangalore playing their last match against UP Yodha. So Bangalore have three matches against three teams inside the top six or just on the fringe of it. So they really must be concerned. I think Pawan Sarawat will be confident, obviously. They haven't had Rohit Kumar on court. So if Pawan is targeted by the opposition defence, then there's an actual opportunity that Jaipur Pink Panthers must still hold to try and get past the Bengaluru Bulls. I think they're the easier target than UP Yodha or Umumba might be at this stage, given the matches that Bengaluru Bulls have. Haryana is a top three team. Jaipur, a team that's on the fringe but competing for the same spot. And then UP Yodha inside the top six, carrying momentum. So the Bengaluru Bulls have the toughest run of matches, I think, out of those remaining sides that are targeting a place in the playoffs.
Pretty significant thing with that as well is UP have a game in hand. That game in hand is Dibang Delhi. So even if they lose that, they're still equal with Bengaluru. And as you say, I think Bengaluru are the team, actually, despite the fact UP are playing Dibang Delhi, who we know all about. I totally agree with you.
Having said that, though, Dan, I think also UP Yodha will go up against the Dibang Delhi side that's already qualified and inside the top two and might rest a few players. Mm. So they might actually have an easy game there.
Mm, that's a very good point. Very good point. It's going to be the next week is going to be fascinating in terms of how this all breaks down and which three of those four teams are going to make it into the playoffs. One is going to be devastated between Umumba, who I think are going to sneak over the line, the Bulls, UP Yodha and JPP. Of course, we'll be back with all the action from the next week, which is going to pretty much, Sahel, we think, give us those top six. UP Yodha Bengaluru Bulls is literally the last match on a very good day, Friday the 11th of October. A very, very special and important day in the world calendar. I'll let you work out why that is. But Sahel, do you think that we will go down to UP Yodha and Bengaluru Bulls for that final position, or do you think it'll all be done and dusted by then?
Yeah, it all comes down to one match. Jaipur Pink Panthers taking on the Bengaluru Bulls. If Jaipur beat Bangalore, then it's game on. If Bangalore get the better of Jaipur Pink Panthers, which they might, then it is see you later, Jaipur Pink Panthers. They've got to win their next two matches. Otherwise, you're looking at the top six as they are at the moment. Maybe a couple of changes in terms of who finishes 4, 5 and 6. But I would think not a massive change in the top six. I think we found our top six, to be honest. Dibang Delhi, Bengal Warriors, Haryana, your Mumbai, Bengaluru Bulls, UP Yodhas. As I said, maybe a couple of changes for 4, 5, 6 where they finish, but I've got a feeling this might be our top six.
I'm going against you. I've got a feeling that JPP have just left it late. It's been great to chat again, Sahel. Don't forget, guys, at In and Out Kabaddi on Twitter, at Sahel Chandrakrat, Dan Strange TV on Twitter and Instagram. You might have seen on Twitter recently we're a featured podcast on Apple Out in India, so make sure you have a listen and get any questions in as we head towards the playoffs as well. Sahel, we'll talk again next Tuesday. And for now, I'll see you soon.
Yeah, I should have some answers by then. So great talking to everyone, and see you soon.